It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Let me remind you once again that it is a good life living for the Lord. In fact, it's a great life living for the Lord. And today, I would like for us to look in the book of Psalms in chapter 63, verses 1 through 11. This psalm has within it very noticeable traces of the conditions that cause the psalmist's heart to cry out to God. He's in exile in a dry and weary land. He's excluded from the sanctuary. He is followed by enemies who seek his life. But he is the king, and all information in this psalm confirms the accuracy of the ancient Jewish heading, a Psalm of David. And this is when David was in the wilderness of Judah. Notice with me now, if you would, Psalm 63, verses 1 through 11. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. David was twice in this tract of land that we've read about here along the western shore of the Dead Sea. And once he was being persecuted by Saul. Saul was trying to kill him at one time, and David fled to this place. And then we see once again that during his son Absalom's revolt, and note this psalm could not have been written in reference to being persecuted by Saul because David was not yet king when he was being persecuted by Saul. This then must refer to the time of his son Absalom's revolt. Well, that was one of the darkest hours in David's life. His favorite and good-for-nothing son was seeking to grasp David's royal authority. And David knew that his own sin had come back to roost with him. And now David was a man after God's own heart, as we read in the Word of God, but we need to remember also that David was a warrior. David was a bloody man. And remember, he killed Goliath, and through his sin of committing adultery with Bathsheba, he had her husband killed. And on and on and on, we read about David, and David's sin came back. Now, it wasn't a sin for him to kill Goliath. It was a sin for him committing adultery and having Bathsheba's husband killed. He was a bloody man. David was. The Bible teaches us, be sure your sin will find you out. Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23 says that. Well, David's sin at this point was finding him out through his son Absalom. And in this psalm, we see David with a conscience in agony, a bleeding heart and a crushed spirit. David humbly bowed himself and accepted the chastisement of the Lord. Well, because of his acceptance of the Lord's chastisement, it was sweet unto him. He admitted his sin. He admitted that he had been wrong. And this psalm shows an intense and overpowering emotion of love and overpowering happiness. It's a monument for us to see how David's sorrow had brought to him a closer union and brought him into a closer union with God, as our sorrow may do for us. This psalm is a treasure, letting us know sorrows can bring us closer to God. First of all, I want you to notice this. We see in this psalm a soul longing for God. In verses 1 through 4, David says in the first part of verse 1, O God, thou art my God. This means that David has a personal relationship with God, and as David, we too need a personal relationship with God. First, we must know Jesus as our Savior. Salvation comes by and through no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as Savior. That's what we pray, and that's what we've prayed in order to receive Jesus as Savior. And I trust that you've done that. David had a personal relationship with the Lord. It's not a matter of having religion. It's having Jesus Christ as Savior. It's having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, then we understand that after that salvation, and after salvation, we need a daily walk. We need to be walking with the Lord. What do I mean, daily walk? In 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, it says this, If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1, 9 says, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, I like that old hymn that says, When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Yes, as a Christian, you need a daily cleansing. We need to say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for not doing the things I should be doing. Forgive me, Lord, for sin in my life. Cleanse me so that I can be serving you. I can be a clean vessel. I want to be that clean vessel. So that I can have a daily walk with you as David did. We look further and we see David. David says in the rest of that verse in verse 1, Early will I seek thee. This means, Lord, you are first in my life, the first thing. You are more important than anything, anyone, anything that comes into my life. You are number one. And David realized that he needed to be putting God first in his life, and I ask you, are you doing that? We need to do that in our lives for the Lord. We need to put him first. Early will I seek thee. Well, I've also looked at that saying as meaning as David wrote it. When we open our eyes the first thing in the morning, we need to have a quiet time with the Lord. We need to get in our prayer closet and go on our knees and ask God to give us what we need to make it through that day. Now, I'm not talking about making it in salvation. I'm talking about we are saved and we are going to please God through that. Once we've trusted Jesus, that is, and we need to say, Help me, Lord, to serve you today more than I did yesterday. Help me, Lord, to be a witness for you today. Lead me in the light. Now, there's a third thing that David says in verse 1 of our text. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Well, this means David was in a literal dry, waterless place. But his mind was still stayed upon the Lord. It didn't make any difference where he was. His mind was stayed upon the Lord. And this place was not his home. He was passing through. You see, no matter how bad our situation may be, our minds need to be stayed upon the Lord. And when we get out of God's will, it is a dry, waterless place. It's miserable. I've been there. And I know what I'm talking about. David also says in this psalm that we're reading, Psalm 63, verses 1 through 4, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And notice this. He says this in verse 2. So as I have seen. This means that David had seen. He says he saw and experienced the power of God in his life before. He knew the power of God. And once again, this is the man who slew Goliath. This is the man whom God was blessing. And he was king. And whether or not God would sustain his physical life, David would still praise God for his loving kindness, according to verses 3 and 4. You know, secondly here, I want you to notice this. The longing soul satisfied. Verses 5 through 7, David says, my soul shall be satisfied. Satisfaction came because David's mind was stayed or fixed upon the Lord. Remember, early will I seek thee, or you're first in my life, Lord. He looked to the future, trusting the Lord. Now, you may be going through a difficult time right now, and a lot of people are, but you need to keep your mind stayed upon the Lord. Let the Lord lead you. Let the Lord take care of you. Well, what was the result of David's life? The result was the soul was satisfied, according to verse 5 of Psalm 63. Then we see in verse 6, satisfaction came by remembering and meditating upon the Word of God. As we study, we read, as we memorize the Word of God, it too becomes a cleansing factor in our Christian lives. It too becomes a way of remembering the goodness of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Trust God, David says, and as we look to him, at him, at David, that satisfaction came because the Lord had been his help. The Lord had been his advisor, the one who had given him knowledge, the one who had given him wisdom, according to verse 7 of our text. You know, Solomon asked God for wisdom, and God said, because you've done this and not asked for something selfish, I'm going to bless you with wisdom. There was only one other person, according to what I've studied in this world, who was wiser than Solomon, and that was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Satisfaction came to David because the Lord had been David's protector throughout his life, and we need to look to our Lord, the wisest person who ever lived. We need to look to him today, the person who saves. Jesus said this, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And verse 7 of Psalm 63, it says, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Well, that means God is covering. He's got his arms around David. God is taking care of David, and God takes care of us, his children. Well, notice the third thing I want you to notice here is the satisfied soul. David is still seeking after God in verses 8 through 11. And lastly, the final section of this psalm gives us the satisfied soul who is still seeking after God. You need to read that. And you need to take it to heart, verses 8 through 11. Do you know him today as your Savior? You need to trust him today. And as a Christian, you need to trust him to lead, guide, and direct your life.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.